Same architect. Designed it all. And people who knew exactly where to go when the cross siding at a certain date would occur. And by the way, they knew which day it was. They weren't arguing whether it was December 25th or whatever. They knew. Early Christian church did not celebrate his birth. Thus, the exact date was not preserved in the traditions and festival observances of the early first century church. The first recorded mention of December 25th as the birth of Christ is in the calendar of Philocalus, 354 A.D., 4 centuries down the trail, which showed Jesus' birth to be Friday, December 25th, 1 A.D. I don't want to start this all over again, but he moved his birth up here, not here, but there, December 25th, 1 A.D. He didn't quite make it to 2. If he had hung on another 5 days, it would have been 2 A.D. Sure, glad we got past that. Now, the problem with the calendar of Philocalus is the date's inconsistent with itself, for December 25th of that year was, in fact, a Sunday, not a Friday. So the very first proclamation of it was 2 days off. That's what traditions do to you. The date of December 25th was officially proclaimed by the church fathers in 440 A.D. and was chosen because it Christianized the pagan festival of Saturnalia that was going on in Rome. And the church said, you celebrate his birth on this day or go to hell. And so hell was Christianized. The winter solstice had meant the diminishing of the sun and its return again. Its central idea, the return of light, became the hope of the world and the birth of Jesus, the light of the world, and it took off on every kind of way to Christianize the heathen custom. The exact date of Jesus' birth can, however, be determined from available historical records. The information given in the Bible concerning the time of the conception of John the Baptist furnishes one method of calculation. I've done this before, but this guy says it rather well. Elizabeth, the mother of John, was a cousin of Mary and the wife of a priest named Zacharias. Luke 1:5 states that Zacharias was a priest of the course of Abia or Abijah, depending upon whether you're using Greek or Hebrew. Verses 8 to 13 state that while Zacharias executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, he was given the message that Elizabeth would have a son and that they should name him John. In verses 23 and 24 it is recorded, and it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. The priests were divided into 24 classes. You read that in 1 Chronicles 24:7 to 19. And each class officiated in the temple for 1 week. The courses of the priests changed duty with the change of the week. That is, from the end of the Sabbath at sundown until the next Sabbath. Both the Talmud and the historian Josephus state that the temple was destroyed by Titus on August 5th, 70 A.D., and that the first course of the priests had just taken office. The previous evening was the end of the Sabbath. The course of Abia or Abijah was the 8th course, thus figuring backward from the fixed date of Titus' destruction of the temple on August 5th, 70 A.D., which was the end of the first course. You then can project the courses backwards and determine that Zacharias ended his course and came off duty on July 13, 3 B.C., and returned home to Elizabeth. The conception, the earliest it could have occurred, and most likely occurred, the weekend of the 13th to the 14th, and the birth of John would take place 280 days later, namely April 19th, 20th of 19th to 20th of 2 BC, spring, precisely on the Passover of that year. Elizabeth hid herself 5 months. I'm reading Stonehenge, a closer look. Interesting that we go from Stonehenge to this. Elizabeth hid herself 5 months, and at the beginning of her 6th month, the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, telling her of Elizabeth's condition. At the same time, Gabriel told Mary that she too would conceive and bear a son who would be called Jesus. Upon hearing this, Mary went with haste from Nazareth to Ein Kerem to visit Elizabeth, who was then in the 1st week of her 6th month. The time was the 4th week of December, 3 B.C., the 23rd of December of that year, according to the Julian calendar then in use, was precisely the winter solstice. If this were the conception of Jesus, 280 days later would place the date of his birth at September 29th, 2 B.C., 1st Tishri, the day of the Feast of the Trumpets, the Jewish New Year. How fitting that the Holy Son of God should be born on that day. The day on which Jesus was born was not only the first day of the year, but was also the first day of the 77th Sabbatic cycle since the Jewish return from Babylonian captivity. From the reestablishment of the Sabbatic cycles in Tishri 534 B.C., till the birth of Jesus in Tishri 2 B.C., was also a great Paschal cycle of 532 years. The Paschal cycle being the product of the metonic cycle 19 and the solar cycle 28. 19 times 28 equal 532 years. Just skip over that. You got the general idea that he was born at the Feast of the Trumpets and a key time in the numbers as God plans and controls history. Luke 3:1 clearly states that John the Baptist began his ministry in the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar. According to the law of Moses, a Jew was considered of age for the ministry at 30. Numbers 4:3, chapter 4, verse 3. Augustus had died on August 19, 14 A.D. Thus, that year became the accession year of Tiberius, even though he'd been involved in and associated with Roman rulership before Augustus died. If John the Baptist had been born April 19th to 20, 2 B.C., his 30th birthday would be April 19 to 20, 29 A.D., or the 15th year of Tiberius. Thus, the 2 B.C. date for the birth of John is confirmed by the biblical record, both when John the Baptist entered his ministry at his 30th birth date, and the birth of John the Baptist, you can calculate by linking it to being 6 months after John was born, he's 6 months younger, and link the birth of John to the courses of the priesthood that are dated backward from Tiberius' taking of the city Jerusalem, and the dating of the course of the priest that was happening then, working backwards from that, and working backwards from the entrance of ministry by John the Baptist. 2 B.C. date for the birth of Jesus is confirmed, and 2 B.C. date for the birth of John is confirmed, and the years between them put Jesus in the autumn of that year. Well, that's pretty heavy, but it's pretty convincing. Now, if Jesus is born too, you want to know when he is baptized? His death? Let's go to the death. From the biblical record, we know the crucifixion took place on the day of the Passover, 3 p.m. On the afternoon of the Passover, 33 A.D., Christ died on the cross. Both of those dates, now either they're bending history to fit the dates, or both of those dates, and it's taken 1900 years for historians to search and correct the calendars and finally get it straight from all the sources. The pyramid said it 4,000 years ago. He'd be born 2 B.C., and he would die and rise again on 33 A.D. Now, there's a very, very important point. The way of the law is closed by this granite plug. Once they start upward, that's closed. The only way that you get out of the path of this present evil world that ends in the pit is to break forth. And what some people thought was some checkpoint or some accidental idea of this strange pit is to come up from the grave. It's interesting that the upward path at exactly the point where you enter the grand gallery, which rises 286.1 inches, the very number of the displacement that sin caused, at the very entrance to this gallery, breaking up, and obviously, you know, the stones will show you when you were there, when you're there, pushed upward from below, just literally blown out or exploded outward, is this symbol of the resurrection of Christ, the first resurrection that opened the way of new life, the miracle, new birth that moves into this plane. The Jew in bondage who would not accept Christ started moving horizontal, his path that God must deal with. But every symbol of the pyramid comes out right on target. A.D. 33. Now, would you like to know how you calculate? How you calculate exactly the birth of Jesus? Now, the death and resurrection, A.D. 33, is clearly shown. Would you like to know how you can calculate the birth of Jesus and see why it says exactly 2 B.C.? Interested in that? Now, you got to understand the Christ angle and the Christ triangle in order to comprehend how that Jesus clearly... Now, I got to go to another book for that. The Christ triangle that gives you the exact spot in history where Jesus is born. Not when he died. The calculation of the messianic triangle. You see it right there? Now, I'll show you how to do that. And when you do that, now look, right here is A.D. 33. Now, knowing how to calculate this little triangle and why to calculate it, we'll locate the birth of Christ exactly and the ministry of Paul exactly in this other triangle. Wouldn't you like to know how to do that? All right. The messianic triangle, by the way, it totally locates 2 B.C. Now, it's not just the triangle. It's where this triangle on this angle sits in relationship to something else that tells you exactly why Jesus was born 2 B.C. All these little things, you don't have to be a mathematician, but it just drives me nuts to see how these things all come out. I mean, to think a man figured this out? Let me show you something else. You want to know now how to figure the birth of Christ? Just a second. Now, you thought I wasn't going to go any further, didn't you? You thought I was going to just stop right there. How many of you thought that? It's awful that you'd think that of me. Absolutely awful. Now, if you put Stonehenge, perfectly centered on this corner of the pyramid and put your intersections of circles in, the time span involved will take you to the death of Christ at 33 and a half, and the other side of it will take you to the year in Enoch's life when he was 33 and a quarter years old. I think that's interesting too. Very interesting. But this Christ angle linked with something significant in the pyramid will enable you to see there's no other time. If Christ was not born, now, depending upon the benchmark, it might shift from 2 BC to the others, but if 2141 is the benchmark, which is based upon an astronomical location, if you can locate the Pleiades and Draconis exactly at 2141 BC over that benchmark, then Christ had to be born 2 BC in the fall. Now, centuries of church history and tradition has said Christmas. We know that's baloney. Other centuries have said 4 BC. The inches in the pyramid don't change. History is finally catching up with the pyramid. And you want me to show you how that's done? You got to know the Christ angle, and you got to link it to the Queen's Chamber, and a drop in the floor of the Queen's Chamber, which is so clear, he has to be born in 2 BC. Now, I think I'm going to wait on that.